Feels good to be back, y'all. This is the official start, season two of the TM podcast. And I was gone for a little while. Wasn't able to record, wasn't really in the right environment to record. And during that time, a lot of stuff happened, to say the least. So we're going to get into that today. I'm going to kind of give a breakdown. If this is your first The first episode that you're listening to, just want to kind of manage your expectations about what this show is about, what I try to do. But also I have a platform and there's issues that are going on in the world that need to be discussed. So I'll just give you my perspective. I'm not an expert on any of this stuff that's going on. I know what I know. But you know, we'll get into it and hopefully I'll say something that'll make some sense. Or you'll contact me either through the TM Podcast Facebook page or on Oddcast TMP, O-D-C-A-S-T, TMP on Twitter. And let me know your perspective on stuff. So, I mean, getting right into it, we're going to talk about the George Floyd issue and everything that sparked after that. And kind of touch on some of these questions that people have been asking in general that, you know, people have been answering for literally centuries. So I'll take a quick break. I'm going to get into the background of the podcast and then we'll talk about the main subject. I'm going to try to keep it short because I could talk about this literally all day. But I'm going to try to keep it short. I'm going to try to watch my time here. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Don't forget to hit me up on the social media. If you like it, if you got an alternate perspective, like I don't want to get into any arguments with people. But if you have a way of looking at things that I'm not considering, please let me know, man. I would love to like discuss it further. Maybe not what this show is all about, but well, you know, I'd love to have that dialogue. So I'll be right back. Everybody strap in. It's going to be not, I'll try to keep it from being uncomfortable, but you know, we're going to talk about some stuff. All right. So taking into account that this may be the very first episode that you're listening to, welcome. First of all, if it is, welcome back. If it's not, today I'm going to talk about racial injustice, all the things that have been going on basically since the George Floyd thing. The reason why I'm talking about it, I feel like I have to talk about it because I got a show and this is a thing that would affect me and my family. And I've had a lot of interesting conversations over the last 4 or 5 months. With people that don't typically share my perspective. They might not agree with me on everything. So I feel like it's poignant. It's needed for me to address some of these things. And since I have a show, I don't have to explain it to everybody because I could be like, hey, listen to my podcast. Because I'm going to go through it. If this is your first time listening to this show, typically, on purpose, I tried to stay away from being a blackity black podcast, only because that story is being told throughout the podcasting sphere. This has been, for those of you that listen to podcasts, it's a great way to get people's more or less unfiltered opinion, perspective on things. And there are a lot of black people, particularly black women in the podcasting space, that can kind of at least open your eyes to the different experiences that occur in America, or even across the world, but especially in America as it pertains to this topic. I feel like that's a genre now, and a lot of people are doing it. And if you listen to the show before, I've said I don't like trauma as entertainment. It's not like something that I go out and like seek. So it's not the content that I would like to make. this is a show that I would like to make for people that don't mind listening to it. So I say that to say, if this is your first time listening to this, don't think that every show is going to be uncomfortable conversations. Like, we're here to have fun and everything like that. If that's what you want, if that's what you're seeking, there's plenty of people that are doing that. And hopefully, you know, as my audience grows, I'll be able to participate in some of those conversations as well with other people. Because me sitting here talking about it, it turned into a rant real quick. Trust me. And I want to do this for entertainment, man. Like, you're driving to work. I want to kind of, you know, get you lit up for the day. Make you think about stuff. The tagline I was trying to work on was listen different. And that's, you know, trying to take a new perspective on the things that you're listening to. So that, getting that out of the way. The reason why I'm choosing to do this today, in my real job, the one that pays me money, there's not a lot of Black people in that space. So when the George Floyd thing happened, because it was a video and because people could see what was happening and the fact that it happened for so long, 8+ minutes of this man, I still haven't watched the video. I'm just going to put that out there because of what I said earlier. I don't watch trauma for entertainment. It's just not what I do. But, you know, the conversation between police and Black people it's been ongoing in the mainstream, at least since Michael Brown, since 2014. And it really hasn't gotten anywhere as far as like the nation coming together and everybody agreeing that, you know, police have to have accountability and stuff like that. Like, some people are just, they'll find whatever. Like, oh man, he cheated in a math test in third grade, so obviously he's a bad person, he deserved to die. There's just people out there, man. But the George Floyd thing kind of broke something. It kind of broke, you know, that implicit trust that a lot of people had in police. So then we had to have a lot of conversations. So I was gone. I was out of the country for a few months. And my job contacted me shortly after. So I left right as everything was happening. My job contacted me and they were like, you know, we're going to be talking about the George Floyd thing, and we're going to have conversations with, you know, your coworkers. And as far as Black people in my organization, I believe I'm the highest positioned one, and I'm a mid-tier guy. So not to say that there's, you know, there's anything going on in that situation, but my voice would be the highest point of authority in that. And I wasn't there. So they contacted me and I'm like, you know, we're talking about George Floyd. And to me, I don't know how this is going to come across. You probably won't like it, but to me, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I'm gonna tell you why, because this is semi-standard. Like, it happens all the time. And the only, for me, what I've been saying is that, you know, you've seen it. You've seen it. If you've been looking, which I'll get into that, you've seen it happen since Michael Brown, consistently, not sporadic, not isolated, not contained in one area. Almost every state, you've seen police act outside extrajudiciously, resulting in the injury or death of a person of color. So to me, I'm like, yeah, well, like, what's the conversation about? Because I've been trying to have this conversation with people for years, and everybody's coming back and forth with, oh, it's just a bad apple, blah, 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 blah. So why is this one different? Why is there a memo going around my job saying that we have to have a conversation about this? So something broke. you know, that's what happened. Because people didn't feel the need to have the conversation about Michael Brown, at least organizationally, at least at my job. They didn't feel the need to have the conversation for Alton Sterling. They didn't feel the need to have the conversation for Sean Bell, Tamir Rice, John Crawford. Like, none of these sparked this conversation. And I didn't see initially what was so different about the George Floyd thing. Now, that being said, you asked me, people are saying Breonna Taylor's name, and, you know, that's great. Depending on when you're listening to this, they just settled that, the city just settled it yesterday, with a payout to the family, which is warranted. However, all this stuff's been in George Floyd's name. And I'm just like, for me, like, this is my reality. I have to take this into consideration with every single outside move that I make. Every time that I'm outside of my home, I have to take into consideration that I could easily end up in the same situation as any of these guys. Any of these men or women who did not need to be killed. So to me, it was, I hate to say it's just another day. But this one was different. This one broke something. So with that being said, I don't mean to laugh. That's kind of nervous laughter. But with that being said, since my job decided to have this conversation, they contacted me. I was halfway around the world at the time, metaphorically speaking. But I wasn't present, so I couldn't have an in-person sit-down chit-chat with them and just reiterate everything I've been saying for the last 5 or 6 years. Sorry if that sounded angry, but I wasn't able to do that. So they had to kind of get my perspective kind of offline. And then somebody had to basically translate that. So they had the conversation. I asked how it went, and they said, well, you know, there's two other black people that were there, in our small group discussion, and they didn't want to say anything. So that's going to come around. I'm going to give you my perspective on that as well. But anyway, that's the background to it. And I got a show. I haven't talked about anything in a while. So I figure let's kick it off. Let's get it started. Let's talk about it. Because basically everything I just went through is rooted in something else that I don't think enough people consider that don't have to deal with it. So just take that into consideration. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll get into the meat of the discussion. Thanks for listening. This is where I'm going to lose a lot of you. I'm going to be honest. I already know what's going to happen. Hopefully, you know, you'll stick through and you'll listen to the whole thing. But when I try to have these conversations in real life, a lot of people get super defensive. There's a few main factors that we got to take into account. And I'm going to try to present this in a way that hasn't been done to death and overdone, really. The first thing that needs to be said and needs to be agreed upon, because it is true, is America has a history of being racist, particularly towards black people. And I don't mean that black people have had it worse than anybody, like not in a comparative sense, but there have been measures specifically taken, like put into place to hinder the progress of Black people since slavery. Obviously, like, everything was bad in slavery. We're like, that's not even worth discussing. But this has been the, it's been the American way. And in, even in 2020, we have people that are discounting that history. And that, you know, that does you a huge disservice because it doesn't allow you to put the events of today into the proper context. Because the reason why I say that is because every offense taken by the police in America gets treated individually instead of collectively. And in my, you know, me paying attention to these things that are going on, I don't really see activism on the part of police actually doing their job, apprehending criminals, things like that. Like, obviously there's, you know, on the wider scope, the criminal justice system and over-policing and everything like that. And there's a fight against that, which completely warranted. And cops have a tough job to do. Nobody's saying that that's not true. But understanding that the people that are policing have been disjointed from, you know, the history of the country, which you can't do. You can't take that history out of the equation. We have to acknowledge that because there's a lot of people that end up in situations where they have criminal records or unfair trials. The DNA evidence proves that they weren't involved. Manipulative tactics done by investigators to coerce a confession out of people. Like, these things have all been shown to be true and have been proven. Even when the person doesn't die, you know, when they actually go to jail. And then understanding that that balance is tipped unfavorably towards Black people, it's important to acknowledge that, because you can't look at everybody that gets killed by police as a criminal based on whatever small offense they have. I'm not going to say small, but whatever offense they have. The justice system is supposed to work where everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Which means that a police officer's only job is to apprehend criminals, not kill them. Whether or not you agree with the death penalty, you know, that's a topic for a different discussion. But unless that person is actively doing harm to that officer, they don't need to be killed. So, all right. So-and-so was on drugs. So-and-so ran away. So-and-so didn't listen. None of that is an excuse for anybody to lose their life at the hands of a law enforcement officer. It's just not. That's just not the case. So we need to stop making that excuse. And then when you put history into that, you can see the clear line, you know, where Black people have been over-policed, harassed, and the criminal justice system has turned unfavorably towards them. Harsher sentences for the same crime. Over-policing in areas. You got a bunch of cops on video now that they started wearing body cams, planting evidence and things like that. As an American, it is a huge disservice to forget that part of our history. Like they say, you forget it, you're doomed to repeat it. It's not repeating if you're a Black person. This is a continuation. Like, it didn't get better and then it got worse. Like, everything has just been trending consistently since the end of slavery. And that's important. My perspective, particularly, is that Black people aren't victims of racism. I feel like white people are the victims of racism because you've been sold a false ideology that limits the critical thinking, the critical application of the central conceit of racism, which is that one race of people is better than another based strictly on that race. It's not true. it's not true. And if you know the history of language, the history of math, astronomy, all of that comes from the, what you would call the Middle East and Africa. All of, like, our science, our math, our language, all of that comes from those regions. And that's historical. Like, you can look it up. That's not, you know, that's not something that's debatable. So, you know, a bunch of people from all around the world contributed to where we are today. It wasn't, our prosperity is not due to one race of people. It's just not. But when you get told that and you believe it and your worldview is shaped by that, then you become a victim of that system. And then with that, if you are a white supremacist or have white supremacist beliefs and ideals, you are a victim of racism. But then that victimization plays into victimizing other people. So Black people will be the victims of racists, but racists are the victims of racism. And I haven't done all the research into it, but you can look up the Willie Lynch theory, Willie Lynch papers. And basically, you know, that laid the whole game out, because basically what it says is, in order to keep the masses of people, which would be at the time that it came out was poor white people, in order to keep them from revolting against the government, against the rich people, you had to give them an enemy. And America did everything they could to make people of color that enemy. I mean, it's just numbers. You know, you look at white people are the majority of people in the United States. And also the majority of people don't have the majority of the money. So what you want to do, according to the Willie Lynch theory, is keep people scared. And to do that, you give them a boogeyman, which traditionally has been the Black man. You can look it up. Like, I'm saying, it's not really a thing that's up for debate. Like, these are facts. And I'm not saying that to like be shocking or anything like that, but it's worth listening to people. It's worth listening to these protests. I'm gonna tell you when I got out of talking to people and having the conversation for any meaningful amount of time was the reaction to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick knelt. At first he didn't kneel. At first he sat down on the sideline as the national anthem was played, and he did it enough for people to notice. And then an Army Ranger came to him. This story's been told 100 times. An Army Ranger reached out to him and said, "Hey, you know, I fought for this country," and I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, "I fought for the country, and you know, it's a sign of reverence to kneel. So I would appreciate if you protest by kneeling to show reverence to the flag, but still, you know, protest." Colin Kaepernick listened, number one. He listened. And then that was his form of protest. And people still get upset about it to this day. Football season just started back up. And it's still a conversation that we're having about players kneeling for the national anthem. So every sport, you know, has some form of demonstration. And what people took away from that, what people took away from a man protesting what he perceived as an injustice in this country, which, by the way, covered in your First Amendment rights, your First Amendment to the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. People took offense to him exercising his First Amendment right. And he pretty much got blackballed. I mean, nobody admits it, but Roger Goodell more or less said so, you know. But they let the narrative play out that he was disrespecting the national anthem or disrespecting the flag or disrespecting America. They let that narrative play out, and people didn't. The people that knew better didn't take the time to correct, you know, the people that are on their side or whatever. And say, look, you know, you have the right to protest as an American. In my opinion, my personal Chuck's opinion, protesting is the most American thing that you can do. I've been to countries where if you speak out against the government, you're signing your own death warrant. We have that freedom in this country, and I believe we should exercise it at every chance, because if you see injustice, your duty as a citizen is to stand up for that. And it doesn't matter, black, white, brown, whatever, it shouldn't matter. As an American, if you see people being treated unfairly, systematically, legislatively, you have a duty to stand up and say, that's not right, and we need to fix it. Pretending it doesn't exist or doesn't happen is un-American, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but turning a blind eye that's unpatriotic, because we don't have a king. We made pretty sure that, you know, no king was going to rule this land. This is the land of the people. All right, so getting off the historical part, I think to balance it out, the other perspective is sometimes cops have to use lethal force. And I've always known that, but I've never, until we started having these deeper discussions, I was like, you know, how can I make my point more effectively to people who disagree with me? But I think it's because if I said something negative towards the police, the automatic assumption is that I hate all police and everything like that, and I don't understand the job and blah, 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 blah. To be clear, I have to use weapons in my job sometimes. I don't have to use them, but I have to know how to use them. So I understand escalation of force. I understand the rules of engagement, going through every process before taking that shot. I also don't have a union. So there's a lot more accountability for the actions that I would have to take. And I know that, which makes me more accountable in my thought process. My issue isn't with individual police. I understand the job is difficult. People commit crimes, and you have to do what you have to do to make it home that day. I understand that. My overall issue with that is when you've been entrusted with the force necessary to take somebody's life in the performance of your daily duties, you've been given a responsibility to exercise that force without, under the toughest scrutiny. You shouldn't not be scrutinized for it. Every shot that you take, every time you tase somebody, every time you choke somebody, should stand up to an investigation. And it shouldn't be, Oh, my job's tough. Oh, I thought this was a weapon. If you make a mistake, the responsibility that you've been given needs to be taken into account. Far too often, and what I believe is the cause of the protests, is that the accountability has not been demonstrated to the public. Every time you hear about it, up until recently, up until last year, probably, police have been given, they've been suspended or put on administrative leave with pay. And a lot of times it doesn't go anywhere because there's no independent process. When you have a criminal justice system, it is a system. You know, the people that would hold the police accountable also work with the police. So it's a pretty inherent conflict of interest there. So what I realized was I'm not against individual police. You know, every time I said something negative about cops, people were always like, oh, my uncle's a cop. My uncle was a cop. All right. So I get it. And what I said still stands. But I don't want you to think I wasn't effectively making my point that I was coming across as I was against all police, which isn't the case. I'm against the system or the inherent trust that the public gives to the police. I believe in accountability. I think it's the one thing, like people say the law is what separates the crime from the criminals. I don't think it's the law. I think it's accountability. Because if you break the law and nobody holds you accountable, then what did you do? Right? Like you still got off. So you're not, in the eyes of the law, you're not a criminal. So my real beef is with the system and with people inherently trusting that the police made the right call every single time. I feel it would just be prudent, and this is my opinion, it would just be prudent for every time somebody loses their life at the hands of a police officer, even gets injured at the hands of a police officer, it should be investigated to make sure that the proper amount of force was used. There was no other option. Every decision that was made leading up to that person losing their life was justified. And that goes back to my earlier point about taking in, you know, the historical consideration, because if you're scared of, you know, a suspect because they're black, that's wrong. You know, that's your historical bias. That's your bias coming into play. I don't want to lose my train of thought on that, but to make my point clear, I understand, and I think a lot of people, I think most people understand that police have a difficult job to do. And sometimes, you know, going through their thought process, they might genuinely fear for their life and they might have to make that shot. However, if it's a bad shot, there needs to be consequences for that, because it'll prevent you from going to your gun as the first option. When I watched the John Crawford video or the Tamir Rice video or the Atiana Jefferson video, those cops didn't go through a long, lengthy process. You know, they came in, guns out, finger on the trigger, and they pulled the shot within whatever you feel like is a justifiable amount of time, whether it's 10 seconds, 5 seconds. They took that person's life without considering all of the options. So, you know, those were bad calls, and those people need to be held accountable. The good thing about what the protests are doing is that more and more officials from the police departments are ending up holding people accountable. So there is progress coming from it. It's sad that it has to be people taken to the streets to do it. But, you know, these people are finally starting to come around as far as like police departments, not individual people. Like, more or less, people are pretty still hard up on, you know, their stance. The next point that I would have to make is the bar should be set pretty high for somebody pulling the trigger. You know, as citizens of the United States, knowing what the law is, we can't excuse every time an officer uses their weapon on whatever the history of this person or, you know, them not listening to cops when they give them orders and things like that. Like, none of that should lead to somebody losing their life. And I think, like, right now we have the conversation where, oh, they were on drugs, or this person robbed somebody back in 10 years ago, so they were obviously like a bad person. If you can apprehend that individual without taking their life, like, that's your role. That's your job. Killing somebody when you don't need to is you being bad at your job. And the citizenry, the people of the United States should feel that same way, I believe. You can't excuse every killing, regardless of whether that person is even in the act of committing a crime. You could have snatched an old lady's purse in front of a cop and ran down the street. You don't deserve to get shot in the back. You could be found with tons of drugs on you. You don't deserve to be shot in the back. And it's difficult to make the argument that it's not racial when you take into account the cases of Dylan Roof and James Holmes in particular. Dylan Roof shot up the church in South Carolina, and the cops apprehended him without killing him. And, you know, I don't even know where that trial's at right now. I don't know what's going on. They found him guilty or anything like that. But they were able to arrest him after he slaughtered a church full of people. James Holmes shot up a movie theater. He's the one that shot up the movie theater when The Dark Knight came out. And they arrested him. If you're able to do that, you should be able to stop, detain, question Tamir Rice without shooting a 12-year-old within 3 seconds of getting out of your car holding a toy gun. So it's difficult to make that distinction that, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with race. And that doesn't need to be excused. The cop that shot Tamir Rice, number one, I don't want to get into every single specific case, but people, you know, made excuse, he was holding a toy gun, that officer was scared for his life. Watch the video. It's less than 5 seconds that cop drives up on the curb, gets out of the car, and shoots him dead. That cop was found to be unfit to have a weapon. He shouldn't even had a weapon, been out there at that time. Got fired. Tamir Rice's family got a payout from the city. That cop got rehired in a different police department. And that comes from people's unwavering support of cops. Like, you're obviously bad at your job, man. Like, that, you should never got rehired. It's crazy. Same with Philando Castile. You know, all these cases, up to a certain point, the cops either weren't fired or if they were fired, they got a different job as a different cop in a different place. To me, that's, we have to demand more as a people, as a citizenry. We have to demand more from the people that we entrust our lives to protect us and to keep us safe. And that means that when you pull that trigger, it is completely justified, which is a small amount of cases, which is you being attacked to the point that you genuinely feel like you're going to lose your life. Fun side note to that. There's a guy, Dave Grossman, who wrote a book called On Killing, and he does a lot of police training throughout the country. And there's been a lot of stories on him. I encourage you to watch like some of the, I believe it was The Daily Show or Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, that kind of cover him training cops and the mentality that that leads into. He came to one of the areas that I used to work at, and he gave basically his training speech to us as well. And he went through his whole ideology about sheepdogs, wolves, things like that. I'm not going to say that he loves killing. I don't know the inside of, you know, his mentality, but it's not so much that he loves killing, but he just sees it as necessary. But then he makes the case, which could be convincing. It wasn't convincing to me, but I'm not a fearful person. But he makes the case that, you know, you have a duty to protect. And if you hesitate to kill, you know, you're basically risking your life and the people that you're trying to protect. And he goes around the country giving this information to people. And I had the privilege of, you know, seeing one of these training things that he did, like to the group of people that I work with. As a police officer, I believe that, you know, is the wrong line of thinking for cops, because it kind of reduces your escalation of force to basically you pull the trigger or everybody's going to die, which is not the case most of the time. You should be trained with every tactic it takes to control that situation without taking somebody's life. Because again, as a police officer, your job is to apprehend criminals. It's not to carry out justice. There's a whole criminal justice system that will get you to the same result, more or less, historically speaking. But there's a correct way to do it, and it's not killing people right off the bat. So that goes into their training, really. All right. So this is kind of loaded. It's a pretty long episode so far. But more or less, you know, the way I feel like we have to have this conversation as United States citizens, acknowledge the history of racism in this country. Don't discount it. Don't excuse it. Even if you don't think it's the worst thing that ever happened, you have to at least acknowledge that it did happen, right? Like, it's crazy that people will say America is not a racist country. You might believe that today, okay, but you can't say that it never was, and you can't forget, you know, that ripple that has carried on to today. So you have to take that into account. On the other side, people have to understand that not everybody that a cop kills, like, they didn't always have a choice. So there's a legitimate fear for police. But that has to be taken into account And then the last point that I need to make is that there needs to be accountability. And I think that that's the way to have this conversation, because you have to acknowledge all of the perspectives. There's been a big call for defunding the police. I think it's the right message said in the wrong way. I agree with defunding the police, but take that money out of the police department and put it into social services. There's no way to put that in a catchy slogan. If you can think of one, hit me up on Twitter or in my Facebook group. Hit me up in there and let me know if you come up with a catchy catchphrase for that. Defund the police kind of gets right to the point, but it only tells half the story. You put that money into social workers. You put that money into emergency response personnel. Somebody's mentally ill and they're walking around with a knife. Get somebody that can talk them down, just like you would like a jumper or something like that, that can talk them down and keep the situation from being violent. Get somebody that has not been trained to kill to at least go out there with the police and get first crack at a situation. A lot of times there'll be stories of people that call the cops because somebody's mentally ill. The Atiana Jefferson thing, she wasn't mentally ill, but somebody saw that her door was open and they were afraid maybe somebody broke in. So they called the cops. The cops showed up way later. She was at home and they snuck around because they thought this a robber was in the house and didn't even announce themselves as police, and they end up shooting her. That could easily be avoided if you had a wellness professional that was there that could come in, assess the situation, say, hey, we don't need to go in there guns blazing because we don't know everything that's happened at this point. So defunding the police it's good when you see like what their budgets are, but by the same token, you got to tell the rest of the story. I think that slogan needs some work. You put a lot of that money into making the community safer without somebody standing outside with a gun. A gun doesn't make you safe inherently. Being trained and making smart decisions. Obviously, the faster you make those decisions, the better for the situation. But the gun by itself doesn't make you safe. There's a whole nother conversation that I will not get into on this podcast. Definitely not. Anyways, the way I'm going to wrap this up, those are my three points. Those are the way that I feel about the situation. So anybody that, you know, we're having this discussion about racial injustice, everything like that, I think the key is to acknowledge our history, understand the perspective of police, and demand accountability. That's the wrap up for that. If you are a pro law enforcement person or a law enforcement officer and you do things correctly and you're in the same camp of people should do their jobs correctly to make sure that, you know, the minimum amount of necessary force is used. Thank you for that. Please, you know, keep that organizational mindset as a priority. If you just out and out blindly defend police, I'm interested in your perspective. I already know like it's not going to be what I want to hear, to be honest. But you know, if you think like, hey, cops are whatever the line between justice and criminals, I'd love to hear your side of the story as well. We could talk about it. We can agree to disagree. But I just want to know, because maybe you'll say something that I didn't consider, which helped me refine my point. Again, accountability. I'm big on that. If you're a black person in America, stay strong. if you feel down because you see all these killings, I want you to take this into perspective. Right now is the best time to be a person of color in this country, to be a non-standard person in this country. Now's the best time. And it's because of the work people have done on everybody's behalf, whether you're black, Latino, Latinx, I think is the correct way to say it. Tell me if I'm wrong. Asian. If you are a member of the LGBTQIA plus community, if you don't fit, you know, that 1950s standard mold of what an American is, that G.I. Joe perspective, just keep in mind that this is the best time to be an American, because a lot of work has gone into getting everybody the recognition and representation that they deserve. It can be easy to get down. Even if you're a white man, it can be easy to get down and look at, you know, a lot of the negatives that are happening in this country. But just keep in mind that it's because people have a voice. And that's one thing that being American is all about. Your First Amendment right, baby. I love it. I love it. So we talked about a lot of heavier stuff. Usually this podcast will be lighter than that. Trust me. This isn't the kind of content that I want to continue to make on a permanent basis. But it's a conversation that I feel like needs to be had. So thank you everybody for listening. Just remember, you know, it's always getting better. Always move forward. Never look back. That's what Run the Jewels said. I love that song. You know, keep listening to the music. Keep dancing. Do what it takes. Do what it takes to get by. Somebody out there loves you. If you're listening to my podcast, I love you. thanks for the listen. Hit me up on Twitter at OddcastTMP, or follow the TM Podcast Facebook group. Leave some feedback. Let me know what you want to hear about. If this was heavy, if you cut it off, if you didn't make it to this to this point, go back and listen to some of my other episodes, man. They're not the best, but we're getting there, you know. And, you know, next time I talk, I'll bring back some throwback glowback. I'll bring back some Netflix reviews, things like that. We'll talk about music and mental health, which is, you know, what this podcast is supposed to be about. So that being said, thanks for the listen. Thanks for the support. Yeah, we out.